joining us here on this Thursday. It's the Morning Tailgate here on Raider Nation Radio. Vinny Bonsignor, Clay Baker, and you here in our Las Vegas studios. Hit us up on the text line and phone number. It's the same one, 702-365-9200. In fact, you want to qualify for the Summer of Fun brought to you by Planet Nissan. Do so. Text the word free, F-R-E-E-E, to that number, 702-365-9200. You qualify for the five-night stay in Alpine, Wyoming at the Rockin' M Ranch. Horseback riding, fly fishing, get away from the rest of the world. They even give you a rental car and $500 spending cash to go along with it. And if you win, you also have the choice of just taking a $3,000 payout. That's why it's the Summer of Fun with Planet Nissan. Hey, thanks again to Ross Jackson from New Orleans over with the Locked On Saints podcast. Great information from him. And we were kind of like ending the conversation talking about how Derek Carr, you know, and it's like, as Vinny says, stuck in the middle. You know, you're kind of stuck in the spot of having a dead flat average quarterback. Are you getting the same kind of results even with that and with an exemplary defense around him? Some thoughts here on the text line. Very interesting from D'Lo Raider. In the 760, he says, Vinny, you're correct. The Derek Carr expectations are the same broken record violin story. If you're stuck in the middle of a log jab of mediocrity for the duration of your career, he will never take a team and put them on his back and take him to the promised land. Okay, and here's another one that came on that from the heels of that. Raider Dave in Denver says, Carr's $40 million salary, what other $40 million salary quarterback guys are going to conference championship games? And we took a look at that list, and it's kind of a variable. You know, I'll tell you what, just for paying a guy $40 million, that doesn't necessarily guarantee success, but Aaron Rodgers was close to that with 37 last year, did make the playoffs. Derek Carr didn't make the playoffs. Daniel Jones, $40 million, did make the playoffs. But Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, and Joe Burrow. So
Jared Goff wasn't making $40 million that I know last
right.
year.
Right. Now, those are the 2023 numbers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's all we have to go on. We can't, you know, forecast the future right now. But if you're looking at last year, the two conference championship quarterbacks from the NFC were making below $40 million. Mm-hmm. So Jared Goff got his team to the NFC championship game. Brock Purdy got his team to the NFC championship game. Now, both are going. I mean, I know Jared's already, what is he, over $50 million now? He redid his contract.
Yep, 53.
And Brock, and I think you can confidently say with Jared Goff, you feel good that he can has a chance to get his team not only to the conference championship game, but also the Super Bowl. They should have made the Super Bowl last year. It was just a kind of a, you know,
you can't get any closer.
No, there were. He didn't drop a couple of key passes that would have saved that would have won that game and preserved that lead. Brock Purdy, obviously, you know, still playing on his rookie deal. He'll eventually get his payday and deservedly so. We have to do is go back to last year to find two quarterbacks that were making less than Derek Carr. And less than that $40 million that Raider Dave is talking about as representatives in the NFC Championship game. One of those guys went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so definitely it doesn't dictate that you are solid in for success. $40 million provides you some stability, but it doesn't necessarily get what you need. And it's maybe not always on that quarterback, but you certainly think that because you have paid that kind of money, you feel like you're almost like entering into the playoffs with that alone, and it's not the guaranteed success.
And the thing with Derek is when you look closer at things, look at his numbers in that Cincinnati Bengals playoff game, under 50, mm-hmm. under 60%, you know, completion percentage. He didn't play a good game in that game. Look at, you know, the record against teams like the Chiefs or going outdoors sometimes in the cold weather. Throw out the money. Just look at the quarterback and ask yourself, do you feel comfortable giving that quarterback a lot of money with the expectation that he's going to be a difference maker for your team? He hasn't been a difference maker. And I'm not asking anybody to put the team on their shoulders and carry him. That's not how this works. But you can't also but you have to be able to expect that they're going to hold up their end of the bargain. And there's been far too many times in key situations, I feel, over the years where Derek Carr didn't hold up his end of the bargain. He played badly in big games and in certain moments. And that's what we were talking about. I forget who exactly we were talking about. Lamar Jackson in the playoffs hasn't played well in the playoffs. And those are, you know, those statistics are there for everybody to see. For whatever reason, when it gets right down to it, he doesn't, you know, deliver in those key moments. Tua Tagovailoa, last year, at least I'd have to go back and look at other years, but last year, He wasn't good against good teams, you know, and wasn't the difference maker that you needed to be, that he needed to be in those big games. Lost some games late in the season. That's why they had to go to Kansas City in that blustery weather, and he didn't play well in those conditions. So are you comfortable giving him the kind of money that he's going to ask for, you know, that he's going to be that difference maker that you ultimately need when it gets right down to it? And I have some sincere concerns that he will ever be that kind of a quarterback. And my question is, I get the thought process, because the alternative is, well, it might take us 10 years to find another quarterback that's just as good as Tua is, even though deep down we may not believe that he's going to be the guy to get you to a Super Bowl. It beats the alternative. And I don't know that you run your organization out of fear that the alternative might not be as good, even though as good isn't as good as it needs to be. I think you have to go find the guy that is as good as you need it to be. I think that you have to do that. Otherwise, you're stuck in a certain level. It might be, you know, 10 wins and get to the playoffs and, you know, hooray, but that's basically going to be the ceiling. Or it might be like with Derek Carr and the teams that he's been on, including the New Orleans Saints, that was supposed to be a much better situation for him than the Raiders were, stuck in the middle again. And he's a stuck in the middle again quarterback whose teams have been pretty much stuck in the middle or below that middle, quite frankly, with the Raiders, with the losing record that they had with him as a quarterback. And I'm not putting it all on him whatsoever. I just have deep concerns that he's the guy that's going to be the ultimate difference maker, or be a guy that's going to be able to maximize whatever your ceiling is, and help you win the games that you need to win to either get to a Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl.
And it's interesting that also when you have the NFC South teams that the Raiders are going to face, of course, that the second to last game of the year at New Orleans is a pivotal one for the Raiders, especially if you're trying to get to, you know, a 10-win season. But at the same time, you know, Tampa Bay kind of looms large in that, because for the Raiders, they come off a bye week. They're at Miami, then they're home against Denver, and then two back-to-back roadies at KC, at Tampa Bay. At KC after Thanksgiving, and Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay on December 8th. And you know what? Keep in mind that, you know, that's...
They'll have a couple of extra days off.
They'll have a couple of extra days off, right.
There's a Friday game against the Chiefs.
But can you look at what Tampa Bay will be trying to get after, you know, as they will also be as competitive to try to, like, you know, get atop of that division that is kind of up for grabs, let's say. And Baker Mayfield also with a new contract making $33 million.
Well deserved. This year. And well deserved. He showed that he could get you, you know, he won a division. He's been a good quarterback.
And they rolled into the playoffs, and they were also close to beating, mm-hmm. you know, the Lions. So it's like, can you see this team being better than they were last year?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They could actually be better, but I think maybe the Falcons could be even better, mm-hmm. you know, and so better might not equal what they did last year, you know, as far as getting into the playoffs. Because I look at that division, and barring both of the Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, just running off 11, 12 wins, each of those teams doing that, I just feel like, you know, you look at the NFC West, and I think there's two, potentially three teams that can get to the playoffs in the NFC West. Let's just say two. But then the NFC North, I think, has potentially three teams that are going to go to the playoffs.
They could be a three-team division right there.
And I think the mm-hmm. NFC East, at least two teams. I still think the Cowboys will get there, and I think the Eagles are nearly a shoe-in. So those spots start getting pretty scarce after you go through the NFC West, the NFC North, and the NFC East. So when you look at that NFC South, how many teams are actually going to make the playoffs from that division? Is it just going to be one again, like mm-hmm. it was last year?
The thought pattern was for the Raiders' schedule. When you try to play the schedule game, you kind of think by the bye week that, you know, after nine games, you hope you're like 5-4. Mm-hmm. That way you take a look at the next eight games, and maybe you can get 5-3 out of that record. And then you kind of like theorize you're at that 10-win plateau. But they're going to be hard to get, you know, at Miami, home against Denver, at KC, at Tampa, and then home against Atlanta. So those two NFC South teams back-to-back at Tampa Bay and then home against Atlanta, that's going to be harder than people think. It's you could start to see how competitive this divisions get, and they were all kind of like knocking each other off at the end of the year. I wonder how competitive it'll be, especially, you know, for a team like Atlanta as well that needs to get a little bit further. But Tampa Bay is one in which they still have a lot to prove. And I wonder if, you know, maybe with all the offseason losses, you know, they lose guys like Shaq Barrett and Devin White. You know, those were like your stalwarts. Everyone thought that Devin White was going to be, you know, a 10-year player with the Tampa Bay Bucks after they drafted him. And it turned out to be, you know,
After
2020,
he's got holes in his game.
He's got holes in his
Major
game, right?
Holes in his game.
So that all the guys that they thought that were going to be there for years, Carlton Davis among them, you know, they had excellent coaching with Dave Canales, but what will it be like this time around? And I wonder, you know, can Baker Mayfield continue to push the ball around, play good, solid offense, make good decisions, not turn the ball over? That could be something that, you know, even though the Tampa Bay Bucks have a tougher schedule this year, they may still be your heir apparent to go and finish at the top of that division because they still have so much, as Ross Jackson was saying, continuity.
Could be, no doubt. But when I look at the Raiders, the question as of right now, that question may change, you know, by the time the season unfolds and we get to that point in the season where they're playing the Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But as I sit here right now, it's hard for me to not consider this as the biggest question. Who's going to be the Raider quarterback at that point in the season, and what level of play are they playing at? Because when I look at the roster of the Raiders, and let's just take the quarterback out of the equation, I know you can't, ultimately it's going to come down to that. A big part of it is going to come down to that. But when you look at the Raiders roster, and I don't care if you're talking about the Falcons, the Saints, the Buccaneers, even the Dolphins, I mean, the Raiders roster stacks up well and sometimes better than a lot of teams that they're going to play this year, on their schedule. However, the question becomes, okay, but what's Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell going to be able to provide and produce to maximize the roster that the Raiders have, which is better or equal to most of the teams that they play in the season? That's why that question of the quarterback is such a big question for the Raiders.
And as we were kind of talking in the first hour about, you know, the Saints really are going to be relying on youth for offensive line help. You know, three out of the five guys that'll be out there, brand new to the team and young. Can you take advantage of that? Can the Raiders defensive line take advantage of that? And I'm wondering at the same thing for, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, can the Raiders defense kind of figure out what has been making Baker Mayfield so successful all these years, you know, and being able to make plays on the run, making good decisions? Can they also take advantage of an offensive line that is going to be trying to find its way with new faces and, you know, and dealing with certain guys that they've relied upon that have been oft injured? And I'm wondering what that team will look like by December.
Yeah.
And also, just because I feel like the Raiders defensive line did such a really good job last year by feasting on teams that were kind of question marks on the offensive line, I'd like to see that continue on.
Yeah, and I feel like they also played well against teams that had good offensive lines, because the Raiders defensive line was really good, and I think it's gotten better since last year, and it could get a whole lot better, even compared to the better that we already think it's going to be with the addition of Christian Wilkins and Malcolm Kuntz, you know, being a year into his blossoming. Mm-hmm. But if Tyree Wilson is better, and if Byron Young can be better, or one of those, whether it's him or Nessa Jade Silvera or Matthew Butler, can become a reliable rotational piece as well, then this defensive line, you know, stacks up with the best in the league and will be a handful for whatever offensive line they face, whether they're good or bad.
All right, it's Raider Nation Radio here on a Thursday. Keep listening. Get your word of the day free, sending over to 702-365-9200 so you can qualify for that Alpine Wyoming vacation. And we'll also do a little four-down territory at the bottom of this hour. At 9 o'clock, we'll talk to Case Kiefer from the Las Vegas Sun, and at 9:45, Street Legal with Sam and Ash, Injury Law.
Hey, I'm love talking about the hottest new tequila brand on the market, and that is Dos Catas Tequila. Our great friends, Les Kekahuna, who does a fabulous job with Dos Catas Tequila here in Las Vegas. And if you want to just go out and shop for some Dos Catas Tequila and the Dos Catas products, I urge you to go check out Lee's Liquor here in Las Vegas. All of the Lee's Liquors have every one of the brands that Dos Catas Tequila or labels that Dos Catas Tequila puts out there, as does Total Wine. If you want to go enjoy a nice night and a nice chill night, listen to some good music, smoke some good cigars, go check out La Casa Cigar and Lounge over at Tivoli Village. Our good friend Mike Prieto has paired up some of his specialty cigars with the various labels of Dos Catas Tequila, so you have this really cool and unique partnership between some great sipping tequilas and some great cigars that Mike has set aside to pair up with Dos Catas Tequila. And of course, you're going to be able to talk Raider football because Mike's a huge Raider fan. And if you're not here in Las Vegas, don't sweat it. Go to doscatasspirits.com. You could put in your order for whatever products you love from Dos Catas Tequila. It could get shipped wherever you are. Just go to doscatasspirits.com.
Play action. He rolls out to the right. He's got a wide open tight end. Mayer at the 10, 5. He walks into the right pylon. Touchdown, Raiders. Right on cue. They take advantage of another takeaway, and they are blitzing the Chargers here on Thursday night. You got Trey Tucker split out to the right. Carter goes in motion. O'Connell's going to throw on first down. Throws over the middle. Deep into the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown, Trey Tucker. He was coming across the goal line. And the rookie has his second touchdown of the half. And the Raiders have 41 in the first 30 minutes.
Raiders Radio Network with the call. Jason Horowitz back here on R&R 920. Have to get Jason Horowitz on, wonder what his thoughts are on hearing his voice in and out prominently of these receiver episodes on Netflix with Davante Adams. No more spoilers. Make sure you watch it for yourself. Try to get some little snippets of audio to tantalize you, to tease you a little bit. Coming back there with Tucker and Mayer, the youngins, and their touches. Here's the thing. This is why we do the divisional previews, because for the teams that kind of stand in the Raiders' way in their quest to get 10 wins to get into the playoffs, the NFC South is not that kind of division that you should probably sleep on, especially for the Raiders, as we outlined that, you know, 8 games after the bye, 3 of them come from the NFC South. And if you're trying to, like, match what you've had in the first half of the season, maybe you're 5-4 by that point. Well, you got to make sure that Tampa Bay, Atlanta, and New Orleans, what are they playing for, and how strong are they by that point in the season? Because here's one thing to consider. We all know how last year for the Raiders, they ranked 9th in points allowed on defense. So they were like the 9th-ranked defense. Ho, ho, ho. The New Orleans Saints were the 8th-ranked defense. The Tampa Bay Bucks were the 7th-ranked defense. So you got to be a little careful about how certain teams and how you may not, you know, you might overlook how the NFC South has played because that division beats up on each other. But if you are that strong and that sound defensively, that makes you a dangerous team at the end of the year when you really are trying as hard as you can to find points, to find mismatches, because normally most NFL teams have a lot of tape on you by that point, and they know what your offensive tendencies are.
Yeah, the problem for the NFC South is, as much as we liked the season that Baker Mayfield had, and good for him for getting back on track. But the quarterbacks weren't very good in the NFC South the last couple of years. Atlanta, is gone in an entirely different direction with Kirk Cousins. Derek Carr, I don't believe. He was what he was, and that's what it is. Bryce Young, obviously, I think there's a lot of extenuating circumstances why he had such a bad year. Part of it was on him. Part of it was on the circumstances that he was dealt in the situation that he was in. But when you talk about teams that like the Saints and the Buccaneers that had good defenses, why that division wasn't good or looked on as kind of a bad division was because their quarterback play just wasn't that good. They just didn't have the necessary quarterbacks. If you have a top 6 defense in the NFL, you should be better than what those records were for both of those teams. It's kind of an offensively quarterback-challenged division. We'll see.
Same with the Raiders, though. Yeah, but having a 9th-ranked defense, man, you should really have everything
that's
together.
What we've been talking about the entire offseason. That's the biggest concern for the Raiders. We're being honest about that concern. There's no doubt that's the thing that held the Raiders back last year was their quarterback play. I think the quarterback play will determine the how far this team goes, because I do believe in this defense. I think this defense is going to be better than last year. I think the weapons are improved with Brock Bowers. I think the offensive line has a chance to be better. I think Zamir White's going to be fine, just fine as a running back. What's the level of play that that the Raiders are going to get at quarterback? And when you look at that division in the NFC South, that's going to be the determining factor as well, whether it's New Orleans, Atlanta with Kirk Cousins, which is an upgrade, obviously. Can Baker Mayfield either, you know, replicate or do even better than last year? Where is Bryce Young in his progression? So I think that division, you know, it's not a very good division right now, because there's still questions about their quarterbacks.
So with Atlanta, as we talked about how the previous teams, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, all looked really good on defense last year. For Atlanta, though, last year they ranked 18th on points allowed, 26th in points scored. So their additions really have to be really gelled in.
Who did you mention? I'm sorry, I just got it.
Oh, yeah, Atlanta, ranked 18th in defense and 26th on offense. So whatever additions they've had to make, and we'll get into more of what Atlanta was able to do in the offseason about their upgrades, mm-hmm. it's really got to be a significant upgrade, because you have you're down there in not only either personnel but their ability to really expand what you're trying to do on both sides of the ball with new coordinators, new coaches, and of course a new quarterback. There's got to be like a real influx of other talent, but it's got to find a way to gel, and they have to make a really quick turnaround, because the last year and previous year that they were like near the bottom in both categories on offense and defense.
Yeah, and I have to say that my personal opinion is Kirk Cousins is a massive upgrade over the what they were throwing out there the last couple of years.
Irrefutable. So,
it definitely irrefutable, okay. Without question. And the stats show that, Brandon Thurney. Just look at the stats. It's all right there available.
Poor BT.
For everybody. He's taken a beating on social media, and rightfully so. Well, he's talking out of his ear.
You know, Brandon, I can only see how wide that smile is, seeing the engagement.
Well, then you're telling me exactly what he's all about, which is, that's fine. If that's what you are, you're an agitator.
That's his job, though.
His
job is to cultivate opinion as a talk show host. He's not a journalist. Yeah, he's a talk show host.
Yeah, I think that we do have a responsibility to at least articulate accurate information, though, too. If it's just all opinion, that's great. That's what he is. He doesn't care about the statistics or the accuracy of it all. He's just trying to push buttons and all that. That's great. That's his job. If that's what he is, then that's what he is. Let's be clear about that then. Because I do think that we have a responsibility, because we want opinions. We want a reaction. We want to elicit, engagement. But you also want to do it by stating the right facts, don't you, Clay? Shouldn't that be a principal part of what we do? Or is that just not even part of the whole deal?
It's part of it, but it's not all of it. At the same time, I mean, he's just arguing that Lindor is not a superstar.
No, that was one thing, and I agree with him. I don't think there's many baseball players that are superstars. The part that I had the issue with, and he's getting roasted for, is by saying that it's irrefutable that he's not the same player in New York that he was in Cleveland, when all the statistics show that he is exactly the same player as he was in Cleveland, and won't come off of that. He got kind of backed into a corner and tried to move the goalposts a little bit, and just spoke out of emotion rather than actual facts by saying it's irrefutable that he's not the same player in Cleveland or in New York that he was in Cleveland. And everybody that's responded, go look at all the responses. Like, Brandon, have you looked at the numbers? It's obvious he didn't. And if you want to just say that he's trying to create a reaction, that's great. Then just admit that.
Well, I
and
think
say
there's
that,
also,
that stats aren't part of it.
Yeah.
It's just opinion.
I think it's also a fact of like a player's regression, you know, after like you got a sample size of like 10 years in the league, right? And for Lindor, if you're still kind of like, you know, your batting average is not in the 270s, it's in the 250s. Okay. The run production, the home run production, it can dip a little bit here and there, but that's part of the regression of anyone's career.
Yeah.
But he's not in that MVP talk as he was in Cleveland, as he is now in New York. You know, like, in Cleveland, he was like arguably, you know, this young wunderkind who's coming on the scene, and he made that team really go in Cleveland, and it wasn't always the best teams in Cleveland either. So it just seemed like he's like stood out a lot more as a really young run producer. And you know what? He's still probably, I mean, statistically, that's a Hall of Famer.
He is continued that in New York.
Yeah.
And now he's batting leadoff. So, I mean, I think it might have been Brandon. He was talking about the RBIs. Well, he's a leadoff hitter. You're not going to be the major. But ever since he became the leadoff hitter and they put Brandon Nimmo at number two. The offense has scored. I mean, the offense has exploded, and he's a big part of that. But just the if you look at the numbers, the sheer numbers, he is exactly the same player that he was. It might not seem like that, or whatever the case might be, but the numbers are irrefutable that he is. And that's all I'm saying is that I get opinion. I want opinion. I love it. I think it makes the world go around. But I think we also, as radio hosts, hosting a show on a daily basis, we can't just throw out things and present them as facts when the proof completely refutes what we're trying to say and pass that along as facts. I know you might look at this a little bit differently, but if you're going to just say that no, it's just all about opinion, then I guess I can't take you that serious. Not you, but I can't take you seriously because what you're saying isn't factually true.
Hey, gotta admit though, if you get people to talk about baseball, you know what? Yeah, you're doing something good. I can't believe it, Brandon. I'm so mad at you because now we're past four down territory. Let's get to it real quick.
First down, and it's first and 10, Las Vegas.
Hey, we've been watching like some of the off-season shows, and obviously receivers on a receiver on Netflix is good. Watching some of the Hard Knocks stuff is interesting because it's focusing on the Giants. Anyway, they put out a few snippets of what it looked like when they were going through their pre-draft rituals, bringing in certain players in for interviews, including the quarterbacks. The Drake May one was interesting. Probably the most interesting was the Jaden Daniels as Brian Daboll trying to test his quarterback knowledge, trying to test, all right, you know, he's got the whiteboard out. The coaches and staff are sitting behind there. They're kind of like, you know, examining, you know, as they are.
A lot of pressure in those situations.
I would always think so.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, because we're going to find out. We're going to explain something to you really quickly. There's a schematic in front of you on the whiteboard. We want you to go here. We want you to go there. What are you going to do if X receiver is over here and Y is over here? How is this going to matter? And what do you do next? We're asking you under your decision-making. Quick cut, not a lot of time to think about it. This is what it sounded like as Daboll was with Jaden Daniels.
Hey, Jay, erase that Z, make him the F. Erase the X and make him the Z. Erase the W, make him the X. Erase the T and make him the H. Ready?
Yep.
Gun trolley right, 64 house X in. Give it back to me. Nope, don't look at it.
Oh, you want me?
Give it back to me how we call it.
The whole play?
Yeah.
Gun trolley right, house F in.
Okay, X in.
X in.
That's okay. And then if it's cover one, what do we want you to do? Probably.
Don't touch them.
All right, I like that answer.
Yeah, man, if you got one-on-one coverage with a receiver that you want to throw to, yeah, throw that touchdown. And yep. Now you can see a little further why Antonio Pierce really liked and loved Jaden Daniels.
Right, and why the Washington was like, no, we're not trading to anybody out of the number two pick. We want Jaden Daniels just as badly as you do. Yeah, those are interesting because they are highly pressured and guys sometimes expose themselves one way or another.
Sure.
When those questions start getting asked, John Gruden always told that story about his first interview with Al Davis when he was interviewing for the Raiders head coaching job back in the day. And he was up on the whiteboard and he asked a question and it was pretty easy. You know, I went and did the whole thing, you know, and then Al goes, now give it to me with, and he gave him this whole situation and, you know, just changed the whole thing and all the dynamics. And John talked about how there was sweat coming down my back because I'm like, oh, this is a little different than it normally is. This is high pressure stuff. He goes, I just did the best I could and hoped I passed. You know, I guess they called me back and gave me the job, so I guess I could. But it was nerve wracking up there because that's Al Davis and he knows what he's talking about. And I'm just trying to, okay, that's a question I didn't expect the owner to ask me right now. So yeah, it can get pretty dicey.
That's the brilliance of Al Davis because you can almost see where it's like, hey, you know, he's kind of softening Gruden up like, hey, it's good to talk football with a football guy. But I just want to let you know I know more than you. I'm going to really test your knowledge.
Cooper Kupp talks about how he got interviewed by Sean McVay at the scouting combine. And it was one of those really deep, you know, up on the whiteboard things, you know. And the Rams had, and it was Sean McVay's first year, so he had just hired his wide receiver coach. His wide receiver coach was in that meeting. And he just runs Cooper through this whole thing, and Cooper's just acing it, you know.
Nice.
And finally, McVay looks over at his wide receiver coaches. You're lucky you're under contract already, because I would hire this guy as my wide receiver coach, like, right now.
Yeah.
That's the knowledge that he has.
That's so good. Okay, it calls for it. Gruden, Chris Sims.
West, right, tight.
Oh, scattered a west, right, tight. F left. 3-2.
372.
372.
Y-stick,
Z-spot. Z-spot. I don't want to break.
Christ. Huh?
I'm the problem.
Making you nervous, aren't I?
Maybe.
Play action on second and 12.
Hey, speaking of certain guys, you know, still trying to find a spot in the league, and it was a little surprising that, you know, I see this report coming out that from Adam Schefter that free agent running back Leonard Fournette is motivated to continue his NFL career and to sign with the team before the season, saying that Leonard's in the best shape of his career, and I expect he'll have a new home soon. Leonard Fournette's only 29 years old. You know, he came off the year last year with Buffalo, only played in a couple games. It was very paltry. But this is somebody that, you know, when he was with Tampa and with Jacksonville, played very well, competed at a high level. Do you think that, you know, certain running backs at the age of 29 and 30, they could be part of somebody's camp, you know, after training camp begins and there's attrition at running back, some guys go down with injury? Where could he best find out a spot there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, at 28 years old, it's worth it to bring mm-hmm. him in, you know, depending on where you're running back room. I don't necessarily think the Raiders would be a fit because I think that's filled to the brim, that room. But yeah, I can, you know, I don't know what the story was last year. I have to admit. I know he only played the two games with the Buffalo Bills, but 16 games the year before that, 14, 13, you know, 15. So he's a guy that typically stays on the field, has missed a couple of games here and there, you know, previously. Last year was I don't know if it was injury or it was just circumstance.
Yeah, but being on the practice squad for a lot of the year, so it's a little wondering, like, what happened to Leonard?
Yeah, and you know, you kind of get to that stage of your career where it's not the worst thing to have Leonard Fournette on your practice squad, unless he's mm-hmm. just physically unable to do it anymore. But, you know, if Adam's saying that he's in the best shape of his life, that you know, that intrigues me a little bit, just to at least bring him to training camp for a team that has some openings in their running back room, to see what you have in Leonard Fournette. He's somebody right. that I think deserves that kind of consideration, to at least come in and see what he's all about. He's obviously not going to break the bank at this stage. Would probably play on a minimum deal with a lot of incentives tied into it, but if you could catch some lightning in a bottle with a running back of that caliber, even in a shared situation, maybe not the main guy, but you know, you might get something out of that.
I think you can. I think somebody with 4,500 rushing yards and has been on championship teams and can understand certain situations that maybe most rookie running backs, if your team is relying on that, is unable to do. Fournette's still able to pick up blocks. Fournette's still able to catch balls out of the backfield and be that stable force behind center. We'll take a break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll give you a chance to win Clear the Phone Lines to get the tickets to go see the Battle for Vegas charity softball game July 13th at the Las Vegas Ballpark here in downtown Summerlin. You don't want to miss it. It's Team Golden Knights against AJ Cole and Team Raiders. You get your tickets online at battleforvegas.com. But you got two tickets right here. Be caller number 9 right now at 702-365-9200. Tobin Motor Cars is a proud sponsor of the Battle for Vegas charity softball game. Go online, visit for yourself, TobinMotorCars.com. Check out and explore their full gallery of new and pre-owned luxury vehicles. 702-365-9200. Get your tickets now for the Battle for Vegas charity softball game.
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Clay and Vinny.
Yeah, it's more of the just the comfortability just in general within his own skin, I guess you could say. And, you know, he is who he is now, and we, you know, he's talking, he's a little bit of everything. You're starting to see more of him versus just the shell of a rookie trying to do everything, you know, by the book, which is that's what allows guys to kind of get to that next level once you figure out who you truly are and start to come into your own. So obviously he's balling, and he was doing a lot of good things last year. So I don't want to say like I haven't seen any elevation, but it, you know, he was doing, especially toward the end, he started figuring out who he is a little bit more. And you know, as soon as he got here this offseason, he kind of put his cleats on, strapped up, and you could tell that he's ready.
Devontae talking about Aiden O'Connell and his maturity that he's been seeing in this second season of the offseason so far. It's Raider Nation Radio, the Morning Tailgate. Case Kiefer from The Sun will join us in a few minutes here on R&R 920. Congratulations to both Mario and Felix. They'll be heading over to the Battle for Vegas charity softball game this Saturday at the LV Ballpark, Las Vegas Ballpark. Great stuff up on the text line. Really appreciate it. I want to say thank you so much for doing so up at 702-365-9200. Still, a conversation continues on Derek Carr, as we had Dennis D'Lo Raider from the 760 talking about, you know, Derek Carr being, you know, the same old broken record violin story stuck in the middle of a long jam of a mediocre quarterbacks. Eric from the 619 says it's crazy to call DC a middle of the road quarterback when in 9 seasons with the Raiders, he broke nearly every franchise passing record. Oh. 63 wins, 33 game-winning drives, and the franchise record for passing yards, passing touchdowns, completions, attempts.
He also played longer than any quarterback.
Well, there is that, right?
I mean, the Raiders, if you look at their heritage over the years, they've gone through a lot of quarterbacks. There hasn't been a quarterback that, to my knowledge, right, that started as long as Derek Carr did. Right, he has the career starts. He should be the career leader in passing. The game changed. Number one, it's a far more passing league than it was.
Yes.
Plus, he was afforded the longevity to be able to get out there and play the necessary games to become the leader in passing yards and touchdowns and everything like that. But you put the wins up there, but the losses aren't there. It's well below 500 what the overall record was. So to say that he's not a middle of the pack quarterback, I don't know. I have some objections to that. He's pretty much the definition of a middle of the pack quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, 142 games. That's a lot. Even Stabler was at 130.
Right.
You know, but also in another
with the Raiders.
With the Raiders.
Yeah.
But
yeah. And he. Right. Exactly. Stabler did play a good lot, but he was getting to the NFC Championship or the AFC Championship game pretty much. There were 4 or 5 straight years that Stabler was helping the Raiders get to the championship game, and then they, you know, finally broke through in, what was it, 1976? They beat the Vikings in the Super Bowl. So they were. Had it not been for, let's say, the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Raiders would have been in multiple Super Bowls during that time. It just so happened that, you know, they went up against a fierce, fierce foe in one of the greatest teams of all time, one of the greatest era, you know, teams of all time in the Pittsburgh Steelers. So as opposed to the longevity that Derek Carr got, it didn't really produce much of anything other than statistics, which, great, there's statistics and, you know, and it is it's a totally different game than when if you put the numbers next to Stabler, they weren't throwing the ball as many times.
No, they
back
were running
then.
The ball 40 times a game. If
right,
they could.
Exactly.
And the instance for stats in of itself, you know, Eric, I like where you're going with that, especially with, you know, passing leaders and completions, you know,
right.
Touchdowns, all that. But he's also the fumble leader in 142 games. He has 80 fumbles. That's almost double what the next guy has on that list. And 99 interceptions as well. But I love what he says here at the end of it. He goes, I wonder if Aiden or Gardner would ever call DC a middle-of-the-road quarterback. Ah, I see where you're going with that, Eric. I like that. Well, we were talking about middle-of-the-road. Would Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew refer to Derek Carr as a middle-of-the-road QB? Not publicly, obviously, I think
what's the significance of that question?
Well, I say, like, we think he's a middle-of-the-road quarterback, but would, you know, guys who are perceived right now as average quarterbacks in the league on the Raiders team, how would they feel about
that? But they're not average quarterbacks. They have a ground to make up to even be able to say that. They were below average in a lot of areas, a lot of key areas. They've been below or you know, when we looked at the third down statistics and the red zone statistics and some of the key categories that quarterbacks need to excel at, both Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew were, you know, kind of at the bottom of the pack. In those statistics, so I don't know whether they would or they wouldn't, but if they said otherwise, they wouldn't be accurate, and they have some ground to make up just to get to where Derek Carr was. I'm not sitting here and saying that Derek Carr is a terrible quarterback. I'm just saying that he's a middle of the pack type of a quarterback in the NFL and in a league where you need much more than that to win at a big level.
All right, we'll get more thoughts on the other side at 702-365-9200 and up on X at R&R 920 AM. Don't forget, you can download the LV Sports Network app. It is free. It's available both for, you know, at the Apple Store and at Google Play for Android and iPhone. If you're having some issues with the streaming right now, you won't have any with the LV Sports Network app. Go and download it today. That way you can stream Raider Nation Radio all day long without any hitches. And we also have our podcast up there as well, LV Sports Network, here on Raider Nation Radio. We'll come back with Case Kiefer. We'll talk to him about the NFC South teams, the matchups there, and more here on Raider Nation Radio.